Hello, I'm Jim Richards. I want to welcome you to this week's broadcast. We are talking about the art of staying in love, and this week we're talking about strategies for staying in love. Listen, any fool can fall in love, but I'm going to tell you something. It takes some strategies to stay in love. And honestly, most people don't create a strategy to stay in love. They don't create a strategy for much of anything. It amazes me how many people just stumble through life hoping that things are going to work out and act like they're surprised when they don't work out. Well, I got news for you. Your marriage isn't going to work out. You may stay together, but it doesn't mean you're going to stay in love. If you're not working a strategy to really connect with your spouse, to keep love alive, to keep things working, to make things go really the way they could go, the way they should go. You know, that's what the word righteousness means. It means as it should be. So, you know, if you've got righteousness in your marriage, then your marriage is going to be as it should be. It doesn't mean everybody in your marriage is going to be perfect, but it means the marriage is going to be full of happiness, full of bliss, full of fulfillment, all of those kinds of things. So we're going to be talking about strategies today. You know, sadly, most people put more strategy into their wedding than they do into their marriage. They put more strategies into picking out the tuxedos and the wedding gown than they do in how they're actually going to stay in love. They think more about picking out the wedding vows that sound right instead of the wedding vows that have meaning. Listen, you've got to work a strategy to stay in love. Now you might say, I just don't know how. I just don't know how to stay in love. Well, listen, the good news is you don't have to. God's Word says in Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his step. The question is not, do you know how to make your marriage work? Do you know the right things to do? The question is, do you want to and do you intend to? I got news for you. There's been many, many times I've made the plan, and the plan was I'm going to make this work. The plan was I'm going to come out on top. The plan was, you know, I'm going to bring love to this situation, but I didn't know what to do. But I got news for you. That's truly your intention. And if you're dependent on God instead of your own understanding, then you're going to find a way to do it. You know, sadly, what most people do to try to make the other person feel loved is the thing that they wish the other person would do for them. So they're really not working a strategy. They're just saying, you know, this feels good to me, so it must feel good to them. So I'm going to do for them what I wish somebody would do for me. And then they're going to put all of this effort into trying to do these things. And they're putting effort into the wrong places. And then their spouse doesn't feel loved. And then they don't feel appreciated. Because after all, you know, why didn't she appreciate what I do for her? Well, you know, maybe what you're doing for her is really just what you would do for yourself. And probably what she's doing for you is what she would do for herself. And then you're both got your feelings hurt. You're both struggling, and then eventually you just give up trying. But listen, as we go into this, there's a couple of things that's really important that you understand. First of all, it's really important to understand that when you decide that you're going to bring love to your marriage, you are not making a decision about what your spouse is going to do. You cannot make decisions for your spouse. You can only make decisions for you. And trust that what you do will inspire and influence your spouse. Secondly, you can't work faith for your spouse. You can work faith for you. And if you're trying to work faith for your spouse, you're probably into manipulation and into control. You need to be working faith and believing God for you. And thirdly, you need to decide what kind of person you want to be in your marriage, not based on what your spouse does, but based on who you are in Jesus. Too many people are waiting to see what their spouse is going to do before they decide what they're going to do or how they're going to be. Let me tell you something. If you're following Jesus, you need to be the kind of person you want to be all the time, no matter what anybody else does. And if you'll be the kind of person you want to be in Jesus, if you'll have the kind of character and all the traits, really, that you want to have in your life, you know, God can take care of your spouse. And really, if you'll be the person you want to be and walk in love, then it really doesn't matter what your spouse does. You'll come out and you'll have peace and you'll have happiness in your own life. Listen, if you're not in trouble, I'm going to give you an exercise to do if you're not in trouble, if you're not struggling. If you're not in trouble and you're not struggling, but there's just a lack of passion, there's a real simple exercise that I've gotten hundreds of people to use that has just brought incredible, incredible happiness and fulfillment to their marriage. This is where We call it swapping lists. I know this seems so simple, people don't believe it would work. Like I said, most people really don't know what will make their spouse feel loved. They're doing what makes sense to them. They're doing what would make them feel loved. But in swapping lists, it's really, really simple. You sit down, you and your spouse sit down together. You can do it with this program. This program is going to be up for a long time, so you can sit down with this program and follow these instructions, or you can get out of my book, We Still Kiss. But you just sit down and you make a list of the top 3 to 5 things that make you feel loved. She makes a list of the top 3 to 5 things that make her feel loved. And then you just swap lists. And when you swap lists, you might discuss a little bit about it. You don't argue about it, but you might discuss some things about it to make sure you understand exactly what it is you want the other person to do. Now listen, you can't ask a person to do anything that violates their self-worth. You can't ask a person to do anything that violates the Word of God. And you can't ask a person to do anything that in their own heart that they feel like is wrong or unacceptable. And if that's the case, then that's just something you got to let go of and you got to give up on. So don't use this as a chance to be rude and selfish and this sort of thing. But pick the top 3 to 5 things that really make you feel loved and swap lists. And then it's real simple. You just do those things that person says makes them feel loved, and you will be amazed at how much happiness will come into your marriage. Now, again, so many times the things on that list aren't really going to make any sense to you. You know, I always tell people I come from a just old hippie background, so I never cared anything about jewelry, never cared anything about clothes and this sort of thing. And I marry someone that really loves jewelry and really loves clothes. You know, it was really easy for me to get real self-righteous and real spiritual and make it like, well, you know, you're just so carnal. That's the reason you like those things and yada, yada, yada. But the truth is, I was really just trying to find some way to justify being cheap and not buying my wife the kind of things that she wanted to have. So, you know, when we got married, we didn't have a lot of money. And I think I sold some of my musical equipment and what little I had left, and I was able to buy really nice wedding bands. And after we'd been married a while, I really wanted to get Brenda a nice diamond ring. And so we had an anniversary or something coming up, and I was going to pick her out a diamond ring. But I knew she had better taste than I did. So we were out one night, and I took her to a jewelry store, and we walked in. And I said, listen, I'd really like to get you a diamond that you like for our anniversary. And so we looked around, and she kind of zeroed it. And she knew we had to be within a certain budget. But she looked at a ring that she liked that was really more than I wanted to spend. I looked at a ring that I could afford, but it really wasn't close to what she wanted. And so we looked at that thing, or I looked at that as if there weren't any options. And I remember standing there, and we were talking about it, And I was saying, you know, no, we can afford this ring here, da-da-da-da-da. And after we talked a few minutes, she finally just said, Jim, if you're buying this for you, pick that ring. If you're buying this for you, I want this ring. And, you know, she really hit the nail on the head. I was really making a decision about that for me. I really wasn't making that decision for her. And so I'm sitting there thinking, but I don't have the money to buy this. And so I had to kind of walk away, think it over, deal with my own attitude about it. And when I opened myself up to possibility, I came back and said, well, listen, I can get that ring for you. If I get this ring, the ring I can afford, we can take it home today. If I get you this ring over here, I'll have to put it on layaway, and you won't get it for our anniversary. But you tell me what you would enjoy the most. She said, well, I would enjoy the most having this one. Amazing. We both won. And what I really had to deal with was the fact that I really just couldn't stretch myself to believe for that much money. And it forced me to have to deal with some of my unbelief about marriage. But you see, jewelry didn't mean anything to me. In my head, buying jewelry was just an absolute waste. And I wasn't going to seek God, and I wasn't interested in my finances improving so I could buy her jewelry. That just seemed like an absolute waste. So, you know, you start realizing, it's not what's important to you, it's what's important to them. And then another really important thing you do, and I mentioned this on last week's broadcast, you be sure that every time your spouse does one of those things, really anything that you appreciate, be sure and tell them. You don't have to go overboard about it. Don't tell them so much and in such a way that it makes it seem insincere. But be sure and let your spouse know, I appreciate you doing this. I recognize you doing this. I recognize you putting forth effort into this area. But now listen, if you're struggling and you're already having conflict, then you know then you got to do another exercise. You've got to swap another list. Now, I'm telling you, I can't tell you how many people have gotten their marriage off of the rocks by following this little bit of advice right here. And this is the same advice I'd give you if you came in for marriage counseling. But let me tell you something. Really, by the time most people come in to get marriage counseling, it's not going to work. Because you see, once they've reached this place, once their heart is hard, God himself can't speak to the person and get through to them. And most people harden their hearts because they've been hurt, they've been frustrated. Most people really go down this path and they get afraid to hope again because it's like they've revived hope so many times, and every time they do, that other person lets them down, and the only way they can survive is to harden their heart. And I'll tell you something else. If you're abusive to your spouse emotionally, if you're unkind or hard, I want you to tell you something. At some point in time, they're not just going to harden their heart against you, but they're going to harden their heart against God. Because they're going to be afraid that God is going to force them to stay in an abusive relationship. That's really why most Christians backslide when their marriage starts going bad, because they're afraid that God will force them to stay in this situation, and they have to harden their heart to God to get out of an abusive situation. Don't put your spouse in that kind of situation. Listen, here's the secret to marriage counseling. It doesn't work. Let me put it this way. It doesn't work for serious problems. You see, when you have serious problems, you've got two people whose hearts are hard. You've got two people who are hurt. You've got two people who have brought their own issues into this marriage, and those issues are such that they're having trouble working through all of it. But I'll tell you what does work. Personal ministry or personal counseling for two individuals who want to be made whole, now that will work. And you see, if two people get made whole, then they can come together and they can find out who they want to be together in Jesus. They can find out how to have a great marriage. But I've got news for you. Two hurting people very seldom can come together and find what they need to have a great marriage. What they'll do is they'll come together, they'll use each other, it'll be codependent, they'll take advantage of each other, they'll keep hurting each other, and before long, they've mashed all the wrong buttons, and man, they're in trouble. Listen, it takes two individuals investing in themselves to make a marriage work. And I got news for you. This is so important. The greatest way to invest in your marriage is invest in yourself, invest in your own spiritual life. And I want you to understand something. If your version of spirituality is making you meaner, if it's making you more critical, if it's making you harder to get along with, if it's making you more fault-finding, whatever you got is not from God. I can just tell you that. Because if God is love, and God is an encourager, you look at the attributes of love in the book of 1 Corinthians, 13th chapter, and you see if that's how you're talking to people, and especially if that's how you're talking to and treating your mate. Because if you're not, whatever, you're not in love. Some people say, I just get so angry at her because I love her so much. No, I got news for you. That's not love. That's control. That's something sick. If love is value, then you want to come to your marriage expressing and bringing value to that other person. You want to be contributing to the quality of their life. So in this little exercise you're going to do, you're going to find out if you value winning the argument or if you value having a great marriage. And I got news for you. I've helped save hundreds of marriages with this exercise. I've strengthened hundreds of marriages with the previous exercises and prevented people from getting to desperate places by doing this next exercise. But I'm going to tell you something. You got to go in this thing and you got to realize we will not invest in ourselves as long as we have chaos and conflict. We've got to get to the place of peace so we can start sorting things out. And actually, most people need to do this with a third party present. If not, they'll fight. But when I say a third party, I'm talking about more like a facilitator. See, sometimes all we need is a good strategy and a facilitator, not necessarily a counselor. So if there's somebody that's a good facilitator, that's good at listening and good at helping communicate, you might bring them in so that you can sit down and talk about these things and not fight about them. Here's basically what you do. Number one, you go in this and you make an agreement. We agree not to argue during this exercise. It's got to start there, and you can do that. Number two, and this is not a commitment to save your marriage. A lot of times people are just on the verge of divorce, and I'm not asking you to decide if you're going to stay together, but I'm asking you this. Are you willing to stop hurting each other? Because if you don't stop hurting each other, you're not going to be able to hear from God. You're not going to be able to even hear the voice of your conscience. And really, if you continue hurting each other, it just shows that neither of you are walking in love, neither of you are walking with God, and it shows that this is an individual spiritual issue, not a relationship issue. So this is where we do another top five list, and this is where you're going to make a list of the 3 to 5 things that person does that hurts me. Now, you're not going to make judgments about why they do it. This is not making a big old long list. This should be like one sentence. When you do this, it hurts me or it makes me feel unloved. And you should swap lists, and you should have at least 3 to 5 things on this list. And then when you swap lists, you're going to discuss and make clear what you mean. But remember, there can't be any judgment. This is what you do, not why you do it. And when your spouse says, when you do this, it makes me feel unloved, you cannot defend yourself. This is not the time to try to argue your point. And when your mate points out what you're doing, or let me back up. So you swap lists. You don't defend yourself. You talk it through. It may be whenever I have an idea, you always immediately tell me you've got a better idea. And you know what? You may have a better idea, but that's not the point. The point is that when you do this way, it hurts your mate. So you swap your list, and then that's where it starts getting interesting. Because, you see, just like when you swap lists before about showing love, you just got to walk away and pray and say, okay, it's going to be my intention to notice this. It's going to be my intention to do these things. Now you're going to walk away and say, it's going to be my intention to stop doing these things. But see, this is a habit in your life that you've been doing probably for a long time. So this means that when your mate points out that you're doing it again, no matter what justification you feel, that's when you always have to say, I'm sorry. It's just really that simple. And let's say that your mate does something to you and you're going to approach them. This is where you simply say, what you're doing right now hurts me. This makes me feel unloved. You don't say why they're doing it. You don't argue about it. That's all. And the other person at that moment should immediately stop and ask for forgiveness. I apologize. Will you forgive me? And this is really, really important. It's amazing how many people don't ask for forgiveness. Will you forgive me? And it's very important that the other person, yes or no, I will or I won't forgive you. And yes, I'll forgive you. Then you've crossed that hurdle. Now, let me say this. If the person starts to do one of these things, and they're at the very beginning, you haven't become offended yet, you probably need to have some kind of a signal, some kind of key word, something that's not argumentative. I've known couples that would have key words can we talk about something else? And that key word means you're starting to do that thing that you normally do that hurts me so bad, that hurts my feelings, that offends me so much. And when that person gives that key word, you don't argue, you don't have a conversation, you just stop what you're doing. And if you may stop and apologize, and you may say, I apologize, I didn't realize that I was doing it again. Now, if you argue every time your spouse brings these things up, if your spouse gives you the signal and you want to argue, you want to justify, then let me tell you something. Go get you a lawyer and get a divorce and get it over with, because that's what's going to happen. But if you intend to have peace in your home and really peace in your life, then when somebody kindly points out to you that you're starting to do the thing that causes the pain and the chaos, then it's time to stop. And that also means that you've got to be willing to do it. And you may be uncomfortable doing it, but this is where you got to step out of that codependent behavior. This is where you got to step out and learn to be assertive. Give the signals. And what's amazing is people stop hurting each other, And suddenly they realize, you know what? I'm really not out of love. I'm just afraid. I'm frustrated. I'm tired. I'm worn out. And when people can walk away from a situation like that and go pray about it, go deal with it in their own heart, man, this is an environment where they can start to have peace. But now, that's not the end right there. When once you have an environment of peace, then you too, as individuals, don't go together and get marriage counseling. Go somewhere and get individual counseling. Find out what baggage you have in your life that you're dragging into this marriage. Find out what things from your past are unresolved that are triggering extreme reactions. You make a decision to walk in love and to be kind and to have integrity, and you bring this into your marriage, not even because you want to save your marriage, but because this is the kind of person that you want to be. You see, you've got to use this time of peace to go and invest in yourself. And let me tell you, when you go into counseling, don't go into counseling talking about your mate and what all they're doing wrong, because they're not there. And when you go into counseling for you and you talk about what everybody else does, man, all you're trying to do is get somebody on your side. You're really not trying to deal with yourself. But I'll tell you something. If you'll make these top five lists of things that make you feel loved, swap that list. Start doing it. If you'll make the top five list, these are the top five things that hurt me or make me feel unloved, swap that list. Pray about it. Stop doing it. I'm going to tell you something. You'll wake up one morning and you'll realize, wait a minute. We have a great marriage. We have a great opportunity to get back together. We have a great opportunity to have a wonderful life together. Oh, wait a minute. I see now why I did fall in love with you to start with. But you see, you got to have some kind of strategy for how you're going to solve problems. You got to have some kind of strategy that says we got a strategy for staying in love. We got a strategy for solving problems. And I'll tell you, when you're working a strategy, you'll be amazed at how quickly your problems go away and how quickly you come back to the place of love. I'll be back in just a few minutes, and I'll be sharing our mentoring moment. Don't go away. You know, in most marriages, there's one person that tends to be more comfortable with communication. There's one person who doesn't tend to be comfortable with communication. If you're the one who tends to be comfortable with communication, make sure that the way you communicate does not shut your spouse down, close them down, and make them feel uncomfortable talking. So before you get ready to do an exercise like this, you might even have to sit down and say, I really want to do this, but I need to know if I make it hard for you to communicate with me. And that might be something you have to find out before you can ever do this first exercise. If not, be sure and have a facilitator there. So let me remind you, the top five list for things that hurt me, that's something that you do to avoid problems when problems first start growing or when you're in trouble. But the top five list of things that make me feel loved, that's something that really you should do on a regular basis, because every few years or when circumstances change in your life, you're going to find out that there's different things that make you feel loved. You know, when you got children at home, there's certain things, maybe a wife needs help from her husband. Or maybe when your children leave home, there's certain things a wife wants to be involved in. But at every stage of your life, the important thing is this, is that you make sure that you understand what makes your spouse feel loved, precious, and valuable. And then the real question is, do you really want to do it? And if you don't want to do it, don't justify yourself, don't make excuses, just realize I've got a hard heart and I am on my way to a divorce if I don't deal with this. And you seek God and you get you some help so that it will become important to you to express love to your spouse. You know, when you got married, she was the pearl of great price. He was the pearl of great price. And I'll tell you, it can be that way again today, but not without strategy.